Come on, Brother Bear. He's going to preach the word tonight. Glory to God.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, would you please? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning out at Cliffside in our travel trailer, feeling sort of like an evangelist, knowing I was going to preach the Word of God tonight. Little did I know that my ministry would take off like it has and I would be preaching a general conference tonight. Had no idea. Thank you, Jesus. When God moves in a situation, He moves. Thank you, Lord. You can imagine the pressure I feel now, wanting to allow for my pastor to experience General Conference right here in Racine. But I'm not embarrassed to tell you, God has orchestrated everything from the first song to what the pastor said about worship, to praying for Brother Young. Brother Young, I would tell you tonight that God instructed me to bring my oil tonight to pray for you. I did not have that in my pocket when I was walking out the door, Pastor Schumacher. What I am going to do tonight, I used to fear. But I have come to terms in the last couple of years that I'm just going to be obedient to God. I'm not going to worry about a reputation or what if it doesn't happen like you've told me, God. Because if God tells you, and I want you to know that I take serious when I say God told me. Because one day I'll give account for that. Oh, Jesus. How important is worship in our lives? Pastor Schumacher told us tonight, we don't realize. The title of my message tonight, Ushering in the Ark Through Praise and Worship. He shall and we shall. And then if we shall, He shall. There is a currency exchange between us and heaven in a worship service. There are benefits that are put in an account for us during worship services that we have no idea have been deposited. You do not know what this worship service could do in the future. It could do it tonight or, my God. If you would turn with me tonight to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. Starting at verse 17. I want you to picture yourself singing the songs of Zion tonight as I read the first portion of this scripture that says, "And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of ordering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. And verse 20, then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was David. And said, how glorious was David, king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. But David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray for the word of God? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Is there a cordless mic up here? Thank you. Hallelujah. So earlier in that portion of Scripture, a portion of Scripture that we did not read tonight, Michal was watching David through a window as all this took place. I would present to you that she was a spectator. She didn't take part in the worship that was going on. And I wonder how many times we can come into a place like this and be on the threshold of touching the throne of God, but if we choose to be a spectator instead of being a part of the worship, what do we miss out on? There are things that are put to our account, if you will, as I mentioned before, as we worship the Lord. Notice the scripture says that after David got done dealing with everybody else, it says, and David returned to bless his household. There is something very special that can take place in our household and that can take place in our family as we worship the Lord. There is something that goes there, and it gives an authority and ability to us who worship the Lord to be able to bless our household. And it can come in many forms. Doesn't have to be monetary. It can be a healing situation. It can be another loved one that comes to the Lord because of that. You never know what your worship will do. Now, when David brought the ark back to Jerusalem, he recognized its value to the people, to himself, and to his household. But it had to be ushered in properly. And we all know that David would get firsthand experience of what it was to be and how the ark was to be handled. There was great loss in David's life, in his family, because of the mishandling of the ark, not bringing it the right way. So it had to be ushered in right. David knew the consequences, But hear me now. You cannot, with true heartfelt worship, overdo the celebrating of the ushering in of the ark or the presence or the glory of the Almighty God. No celebration could be too big. No number of songs could be too many. No clapping of hands could be too loud. He's such a great God. And when we give him, he gives us. That's not why we worship, but he's such a great and glorious God. When his people give, he gives. You can never outgive God. We can give him in finances, in time, in praise, in worship. Giving out from the heart with love to the Almighty God is the best investment we could ever make. It will never fail. It's an institute, if you will, that will not crumble or collapse. Isaiah 9 and 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. It's limitless. It goes on for eternity. And you and I can be partakers of that benefit, if you will. He shall for us, ye shall for us. In the word of the Lord, in every book, starting from Genesis, and going through to Revelations. This amazed me. In every book, all 66 books, and you can look at it, the Bible records he shalls and ye shalls. Every book, not half of them, not 40 or 50%, every book, all 66 books, he shall and ye shall. He's a busy God for his people, and he desires for his people to be busy for our God. Amen. When I started looking up the he shalls and ye shalls, I went to the Strong's Concordance, the exhaustive, the best of the best concordance, and I looked up that word shall, and I felt this, oh, that's just one of those pretty basic words. And I looked up the word shall, and you know what it said? It said, see appendix. And I'm thinking, I just started to be able to see my toes, and now I have to try to see my appendix. But then I thought, nope, that's deep. To be able to see inside the things of God. So as I looked in the appendix, two pages covered from front side to back side about the he shalls and ye shalls. Over and over and over. So just in the New Testament alone, for example, in the book of Matthew, and she shall bring forth the son, and thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mark 11 and 23. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, brother Young, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Luke 1 and 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son or the flesh of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let me just do a quick little Bible study for you here. That holy thing which is inside you. My wife just started a new client. And there have been some trials and some tests that I and my wife have been going through. But right in the middle of it, she reaches out to a new client and talks to her about God. And this lady tells her this: you are an answer to prayer. I have been praying to God that he would send me somebody that would talk to me about Jesus. And there she is. And they start talking about the Holy Ghost. And this lady says to my wife, are you charismatic? Charismatic, she goes. What do you mean, charismatic? And she goes, you know, a tongue talker. She said, I am. And she said, well, how does that work? Does everybody speak in tongues? And do they interpret? And so here's a little Bible study I want to give you, because people have a hard time with this tongues thing. Amen? Can I get an amen? Does anybody ever have an issue with that? Okay, so 1 Corinthians, and here's where it starts, because they start talking about nobody's going to speak in tongues forever, that's not for us anymore, and it says it's going to go away. But you finish the scripture for them, because we know in part and prophesy in part. But 1 Corinthians 13 and 10 says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And Jesus has not come yet, so tongues are still for us. Oh, wait a minute. Are you telling me that Jesus is a that? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. It's what the scripture says. Because 1 John 1 and 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, now we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of God. And the scripture I read says, that holy thing that is in within you. Luke 24 and 39 says this: behold, and this is Jesus talking, my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14th verse says, the Word was made flesh. But yes, that is Jesus. So that was the first day. Then she told her a little bit about her cancer healing. And the next day, she went back, or the couple days later, the lady asked her, you said something the other day, and I just got to ask you, how was your hair a part of your healing? And so she was able to tell her that, and how it gives them the authority to call on angels. And the lady goes, oh my gosh, I see that. But I've said all that to say, right in the middle of our dilemma in the Bear household, she reaches out to somebody else, Sister Markwart, and there me and my wife are sitting, weeping over how good God is and how he sent somebody for us to minister to, and in that ministering to somebody else, it will totally change your mindset and your thinking about your situation. Right in the middle of your dilemma. Right in the middle. John 4:14. But so whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Romans 5:8-9. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Are you seeing this? We shall, he shall, we shall, he shall, on and on and on. And I shall continue. The Bible says that those who seek him shall lack no good thing. No matter what the situation, no matter what the surroundings, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what position or status we have in this society, you fill in the blanks. God will do in our life what we need him to do. Now, here's what I wanted to get to tonight. The book of Jeremiah. Hidden in that 29th chapter, there is a formula to the peace and blessings of God that sometimes we miss because it doesn't fit our recipe for peace. You see, we like to start in verse 11 of that 29th chapter. And I know a lot of you are thinking of it already. I know my thoughts towards you. And that scripture has ministered to me so many times. But let's turn to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. You see, I told Brother Schumacher this morning, or this evening, right before service started, that God spoke something to me today, and he reminded me of Brother Escudero, who was here and preached to this church, and he told us, can anybody remember what he told us this church was going to be? What kind of church was it going to be? A headquarters church. Who believes that? Who's hanging on to that? Amen. I as well. And so I am to tell this church that this is the headquarters church in this city, in this area, the beacon of light that has true truth. It stands for truth. It stands for holiness. There are a lot of buildings and proclaimed churches here, but this is to be the headquarters church. This is where a clear sound is going to come from. You just remember that. The man of God said it, and it comes to pass. Now, where's Jamie Dixon? Is she here? Jamie Dixon, God used you Sunday when you talked about the Singspiration. And here's what I would like to add by the unction of the Holy Ghost to that. Two services of worship. And God is going to use those services, Brother Portman, Brother Young, to do some great and mighty things. He has shaken the spiritual realm. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. He has shaken the spiritual realms that we cannot yet see, but soon shall we see what he has shaken take place in our families, to our loved ones, to our situations. So the two worship services are mandates for you and I. Not to be like Mikhail, a spectator, but to be here and worshiping. And God is going to do some mighty mighty things. That's why, Sister Dombeck, when you said what you said tonight about what they wrote on the poster, I was not surprised at all, because God is going to do a great thing. Two worship services in a row that are going to be the prelude, if you will, to a dedication service, and God is going to give the headquarter church a clear message. Now, tonight in St. Louis, that's where the headquarters is. And you can bet that headquarters tonight is hearing from God. This is not about me, but I want you to know that tonight the headquarters church is hearing from God and giving us instruction on what he would have us to do. So Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. In the first verse it says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which are carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar have carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." Every one of us in our lives at one point or time have been carried away captive, if you will, because of dilemmas or situations in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. And sometimes, even though we are a child of God, we could fall into one of these categories. We are the royal priesthood. We are the New Testament church. We are the saints of the Most High God. But yet, things can creep into our lives that actually cause us to be held captive. And I'm going to touch on that in just a little bit. Verse 4, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives." Now look at this. "Whom I have caused to be carried away." You know what? In the 44th chapter of the book of Psalms, David had some complaints about present evils. And he talks in this chapter in verse 7 about how God has saved us, but before the rescue, there was some trial. Verse 9, he says, "Thou hast cast us off." Verse 11, he says, "Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat." Verse 13, "Thou makest us a reproach." Verse 14, "Thou makest us a byword." Verse 19, "Thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons." But verse 17 is the key. "All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely with thy covenant." There is a promise and a relationship with a covenant people to the Almighty God that nobody else has. We have things that can be ushered into our lives because of a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that right in the middle of our dilemma, right in the middle of a situation in our life, God comes in and takes care of it. I don't know, Brother Young, why God would tell me to bring my oil and pray for you tonight. I didn't know that you'd be here. But God did. God has orchestrated. Right in the middle of dilemmas is when God shows up. But in the middle of those dilemmas, what I would tell you tonight is we have got to remember that if there's ever a time to be faithful to the Most High God, it's through those trials. God is building a testimony in our lives. The root word in testimony is test. And that's what they are, as tests. But then as we lay before people in the middle sometimes of our dilemmas, people see and people know. And then, like was spoken here Sunday about how a sister can come to the altar right after she lost her husband the next day and worship God. People take note of that and think, my Lord, there's got to be strength that she's getting somewhere. We know where, from the Almighty God. I have cause. So back to verse 4, Jeremiah actually in this chapter is bringing comfort in a time of calamity, and only God can do that. Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 5, look what he says. Listen, don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear come in. He says, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit thereof. Eat the fruit of them. Sounds to me like planting the seed and bringing in a harvest, even though things could be hard in our lives. There's something about doing the work of God that can bring relief in your time of trouble. You want to bring relief when you're going through a trial? Win a soul to God once. Oh my, when you talk to them about the goodness of God and the beauty of God, it ministers and ushers into your life a peace of God. It doesn't make any sense, but his ways are above our ways. Verse 6. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons, that ye may be increased there. And not diminished. Not diminished. Not lessened, if you will. That word diminish means to be ineffective, if you will, to pare off or to lessen, to make small or few. Noting fewer in number. But if there's ever a time to build, it's in those times. Listen, these people were held captive, but he's telling them to build houses and marry your have your children marry and have children. Now, what sense does that make? What economy is that? When we're captive here, don't you understand? We are in a dilemma. But God sends through the prophet comfort and says, no, this is what God would have you to do. Don't let that stuff sidetrack you. Don't let your situation distract what God has called you and called I to do. Verse 7, the hidden treasure. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. He's telling his people through the prophet of God to seek the peace of that city where I have caused you to be led away captive. And when you find peace there, then shall ye have peace. Peace right in the middle of your calamity. Peace right in the middle of your storm. Peace right in the middle of a devastating crisis situation. There can be peace. And there is an inner peace that only God can provide. And it can be in the middle of your dilemma, because the Word of God says, Pastor Schumacher, to seek peace in that city. And God would never tell you and I to seek something that cannot be found. If it's there and he says it's there, it's there. And all we have to do is seek and find it. Listen, I found mine in worship. Watch. Zacharias and Elizabeth. The Bible says that she was barren. Amen? But Zacharias, Pastor Schumacher, was in the temple fulfilling his order. Do you know what his order was? His order was to burn worship, burn incense. He didn't have a bad attitude because his wife was barren, because no children were brought forth. Ooh, can I take my coat off? Hallelujah. Thank you. They didn't have a bad attitude. Elizabeth didn't have a bad attitude because she didn't have a child. They fulfilled their order. He was in the temple burning incense unto the Lord, offering incense up. And you know what? Right in the middle of that, even though things weren't going so well in their life, angel shows up and talks to Zacharias and tells him that Elizabeth is going to bring forth a son, a child. Who of you the Holy Ghost in this place? Brother Dixon, come with me. Lay your hands on that man's head. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, on a Wednesday night, the hand of heaven touches your body. And it is so. You have worshiped God. You are here. You have offered up incense. And the hand of God has shown up in this place. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for a healing right now. Listen, the bride or the church of the Almighty God is not barren. You remember that. Because God can do anything and everything. And Isaiah 9 and 7 says, of his government and peace, there is no end. Now, they offered up incense. He was fulfilling his position as a priest. And the miracle happened just 2 weeks ago. And God allowed for this to happen in my life, not because I'm Mr. Spiritual, but because there's some people in this place who have wayfaring children. Amen? Is there anybody in this place that wants their children to come back to the Lord? So here I am, two Sunday mornings ago, standing right there, Pastor Schumacher, fulfilling my duty of the priesthood and offering worship up to the Almighty God. And unbeknownst to me, somebody taps me on the shoulder and it's my son. I talk to him and ask him that I could share this. But God allowed for it to happen for somebody in this place to see, who has been worrying sick about your children and will they return and what's going to happen to them. You continue to offer incense and fulfill your office of the priesthood. And I promise you that the voice of heaven and the angels of heaven and the hand of the Almighty God will show up in your situation and deliverance will come. Don't be intimidated by tattoos and earrings and partaking of things that defile the temple. I was worried sick. And Pastor Schumacher mentioned it last Sunday. My son called me his wife, now my daughter-in-law, baptized in the name of Jesus. Someone texted me a picture, her hands in the air, as God washed her sins away. the daughter of Lori Ledger, who we had been witnessing to for years at the Pick and Save store, had no idea that our son and her daughter were friends. Had no idea. But we kept witnessing. And we taught the Bible study. And God has done an awesome work in her life. She's been baptized in the name of Jesus. She's been filled with the Holy Ghost. And somebody was watching. You know who it was? It was my son, who told me last week, he said, "Dad, if you would have told me 2 years ago that Lori Ledger and her daughter would have been baptized in Jesus' name and she had the Holy Ghost, I would have told you, you were crazy." So listen, now watch though. Here's where, as children of God, we can be held captive. My son was brought up in this. My son had very deep experiences with God. But yet, Pastor Schumacher, he could look at somebody and say, "Oh, they could never be saved." Do you see what I'm saying? That is a lie from the pit of hell that is talking to your minds and talk to my minds, telling us that it's never going to change. It's never going to get better. Oh, nope, they could never make it. No. You seek peace in the city or that place where God has allowed for you to be. And when you find peace, now watch. This city is known as a place that is surrounded by walls. It's a place of permanent residence. It can be, now watch this, a place of structures that are made of clay and stone. Listen, this message, holiness and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to us in baptism, is our wall. We are nothing but glorified mud balls or clay, but inside us lives the rock. You see, it's us, folks. And God has his hand on us. And there's peace available for you and I in that city where we may feel held captive. But God's coming. Deliverance is coming. Deliverance is coming. Through worship, through praise, ushering in the ark. He shall, we shall. As we shall, he shall. And so it goes, finding peace in that place. And God sends an answer. Zechariah and Elizabeth could have had a bad attitude and said, "Well, we're not getting what we want, so I'm just not going to worship anymore." Anybody ever come in here and feel like that? You come in here on a Sunday morning and things aren't going so well in your life, and, "Well, I'm gonna be here, but I'm gonna sit this one out." Could I just tell you tonight, don't do that to yourself. Don't sit it out. Get your hands in the air. Sacrifice of praise. You see, here's what I want to show you. The adversary of your soul and my soul wants to tell us what comes from this pulpit, what we do in worship service, and the things that we have to do in our life are bondage. You have something for me? Here's what I want to tell you, though. The Lord, and thus saith the word of the Lord, tells us that what the adversary tells us is bondage. It's freedom. But he wants us to think that it's bondage. Because you can't do this and you can't. Oh, yes, I can. But I choose not to. Because I'm a walled city. I am protected by the Almighty God. And when I do what thus saith the word of the Lord and what thus saith the scriptures, then things that we wanted are offered into our life. You ever be just sitting there and minding your own business, and all of a sudden God just comes and gives you something you wanted. Maybe it's a DVD of Family Camp. I don't know. But that's how it works. But see, the beauty of it is being obedient to what the Word of God says and engaging yourself in what His Word tells us, and all of a sudden, deliverance comes. Engage the family. Don't diminish. Teach your children these things. They are important. And this is what it tells us in that 29th chapter. Seek the peace of the city. There's pressure. But that word peace means to be whole, to feel at ease, unconcerned, unharmed, personal health and welfare, harmonious state of the soul and mind. He caused us to be held captives. Why? It means to exile in this sense, laying them bare so that they become visible. Peace is available, or he wouldn't tell us. But as we are visible in our trials and our situations, other people gain strength. And God has called for you and I not only to minister to one another in this body, but to be a mouthpiece for Him to this world, so that someone can go into a workplace. Are you a tongue talker? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about that. How does the hair work with healings? Oh, let me tell you about that. Listen. God has an appointment lined up for us. And there are great things that are about to break forth in this place and in families. And I'm here to tell someone personally. That your answer is on the way. Brother and sister White. New members of the family. And I was telling the pastor the other night, what a fitting name, now that they've been baptized in Jesus' name, the Whites. Amen? Amen. But Sister White, I have orders from headquarters to tell you your son's on his way. He's heard your cries and your prayers, and he's on his way. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I don't know what's going on at General Conference tonight, but I would speculate that God's healing some people and touching some people there. But the same God that's doing a work at headquarters is doing a work tonight at the headquarters church in Caledonia. And I would have you stand tonight and give him a hand clap of praise as I ask the musicians to come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Right in the middle of our trials, deliverance can come. Just keep offering up the incense. Keep fulfilling your office of the priesthood. And trust the Almighty God that has showed up so many other times in your situation is going to show up again. And he's going to bring freedom. Brother, here's the song I'm thinking of. Freedom for our families. Freedom for our homes. Freedom for our daughters. Freedom for our sons. What a way for the headquarters church to get ready to prepare for revival, but to have a revival within itself. Like when they brought back the dead, when Eutychus fell from the window and they brought him back and took him upstairs, the Bible said they weren't a little bit excited. They were excited. And I'm wondering what's going to happen in this place when we see the wayfaring come back. Brothers and sisters, amen. Pastor Schumacher, would you come? Let's sing. Let's worship.
Thank you, Brother Bear. Last year at General Conference, Brother Jerry Jones made a statement that it was just overwhelming. He said, in one Sunday morning, there are more people worshiping God on a Sunday morning in church than all of the football games, all of the baseball games, all of the hockey games, all of the basketball games for an entire year. We have more people who are worshiping God on just one Sunday morning than all season of every stadium. And I thought to myself tonight, you know, the big difference is all of those people are spectators. But we're all participants. We're in the game. It's a whole lot better being a part of something than just sitting watching something. Glory to God. And that's what gives us our freedom and our liberty, because I sat in churches for years. Many of you just sat in churches for years and watch a one-man show. But now I have an opportunity every time I come to church. Come on off the bench. Somebody come off the bench. You're going in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The altar's open. Would you come? Thank you, Lord.